Hello, and welcome to another Awesome Comics Podcast special. Yes, occasionally when we go out to a convention, we manage to get a little bit of audio. Most of the time we muck it up, but this time we've got some.
Now, I would probably say every time we muck it up, I've got to be honest with you.
Yeah, normally. Now, that's Tony Esmond, as you all know, and I'm Vince Hunt. And this weekend, the both of us were at Cardiff Independent Comic Expo.
Oh.
I had to make sure I said that right, because in the audio you're about to hear, I missed out the word comic. So
I thought it was International Comics Expo.
No, it's independent. It was
cool.
It was international. Now it's independent. It's all about the indies, man. It's all about the indies. You know this.
Yeah.
So, yeah. A great time was had. We're both still recovering from the day.
Yeah, I was knackered. It took me ages to get home. I was just telling you, weren't I?
Yeah.
And then sort of had to trek it across London with me bag that weighed too much because I bought too many comics. But yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Really good day, in fact. Yeah.
Yeah. Real fun day. So yeah, here's a load of audio for you to check out. You might find a few chuckles. There's some special guests that you won't be expecting on it. So
a couple of real surprises. I didn't even know one of them was alive.
Exactly. I was completely blown away. So with that in mind, for the next half hour or so, please enjoy the ramblings that we got from SICE 2017. Right, so here we are.
Tell me you're
doing that. Yeah. Here we are at Cardiff Independent Expo. That's the full name, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Cardiff Expo 2017. We're in the Cardiff Masonic Hall. Yeah. It's quite Masonic, isn't it? There's wooden chairs. Gav Mitchell's creeping around from behind a banner. Yes, me and Tony are here today.
He's got a troll tooth claws out, hasn't he?
He has indeed. You'll probably hear about that in a bit. We're going to attempt to get some audio in the day. So, stay tuned for the next few clips of just amazingness.
To get Emily to swear a bit.
Yeah, why not?
Where's Baraka's gone?
Let's find her.
Where's God Machine? Oh.
Right, I'm here with PJ Montgomery, who's making sign languages at other exhibitors, but he's allowed because he knows them. You're here, and is this the launch of the mighty Trolltooth Wars?
It's the first convention with Trolltooth Wars, so I guess it's our sort of official physical launch. We've been selling it online for a few weeks now, but yeah, this is the first place we're selling it in person.
I mean, this has been a long time in the works.
Yes.
A labour of love.
Yeah.
A journey much like a Tolkien book.
Hey!
Hey, see what I mean? I know the fantasy genre. But in all seriousness, it's been a labour of love, long time coming, and it's finally here. How do you feel about it?
To be honest, I still don't know if it's sunk in that it's done in a weird way.
It's quite a bit. I mean, we talk about comics taking a long time, but this is a book. This is a graphic novel, isn't it? How many pages is this?
Story-wise, I think it's 130 plus, maybe 132, 134, something like
this
that.
This is full colour.
Full colour, lettered, well, obviously lettered, yeah. Wouldn't work without letters. But
well, it may do.
But yeah, no, it's a full-length graphic novel, yeah.
Yeah. So, how has the launch been since it's been available? How's it gone down? Because is it Steve Jackson?
Steve Jackson, yeah. He's really happy with it. He really likes it. And as long as he likes it, that's the main thing for me.
Mm-hmm. Where did the idea come from?
Well, I was a fan of the Fighting Fantasy books as a kid. And I'd sort of always had this idea in the back of my mind, because Trolltooth Wars was one of their novels rather than their game book.
So that was Jackson and Livingston, was it?
Jackson and Livingston did the game books. The novel was Jackson on his own.
Oh, right.
And I was actually talking to Andy Ewington, who's written the Freeway Fighter comic a few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to him a few years ago on Twitter, and I happened to mention to him in passing that I'd sort of thought in my head at one point, Trolltooth Wars might make quite a good comic, and he just tweeted back, do it. And I thought, yeah, why not? So I messaged Steve Jackson to inquire about the rights. And
how easy was that to get contact with a name writer?
In this case, crazy easy. Really? The Fighting Fantasy website has an email address on it, which you can just email for any inquiries. I emailed that email address. Same day, I had an email in my inbox from Steve Jackson himself. So, in this case, that was a bit of a, oh, shit. Can I swear?
Of
Of course you can.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, shit. I didn't know if it was a family show. This is actually never happening. So, yeah, that was really easy. I doubt it would be that easy for all of them, but, yeah, that was super easy.
So that was when you had the concept of doing the book, and then when he said yes, did you have the panic attack and think, right, now I need to actually write the book?
Yes. Yes, I did. So I think it took me about 2 months to write in the end. I had to go back and reread the novel a couple of times, work out what I was going to keep, what I was going to lose.
That's not too bad, actually, for like 130-odd page.
It really surprised me.
Actually. Some people like hash over and hash over just a 20-page comic for longer
It surprised me. It was a struggle to get going, but then once I got going, it just flowed. And I had moments where the last 40-odd pages, I think, I wrote in one sitting. Which I wasn't expecting to happen. I thought I'll do another session on it now. But it introduced the character of Zagor, this bit, the Warlock of Firetop Mountain himself, who, when I first typed his name into the script, I got a bit of a thrill. I was like, ooh. Maybe slightly less.
I want to laugh, but we've all been there. Yeah. We've all had that moment. Yeah.
And from the moment he appeared, it just went. And that was then, I was like, oh, okay, Gav, you can start drawing
it
now.
Love it when some characters like that. The character that you've been waiting to write.
He was great fun to write as well. His dialogue was just so, he just doesn't like anyone. He's such an evil bastard.
Oh, perhaps we can get him as a guest on the show.
I think he'd be a good fit. I've heard some of your previous guests.
Yeah, very true. So, and then, of course, at what point did Gavin Mitchell come onto the scene?
After I got the rights, which is probably the wrong way of doing it, I didn't have an artist when I approached Steve Jackson. And I basically...
That makes it even more impressive in some
way. Yeah, I basically put it out on Twitter, is anyone interested in drawing a fantasy book? And obviously I already knew Gav, already worked with Gav on Stiff, so I had thought about approaching him, but then thought, he's got too much on. It's fine. He hasn't finished Stiffs yet, and I know he's got other stuff. But then he messaged me and went, I'll do it. And I was like, yay!
Sounds like him.
Yeah, exactly. So it has put a delay on Stiffs. Still not finished. But, and once I had Gavin on board, I was like, okay, this is good. Because his style really fit.
It's perfect.
He got it.
And there's all those... It's not just like the bigger artwork. There's the little in-jokes and all this little stuff.
Like we put in so many Easter eggs, both for Fighting Fantasy and just... there's stuff in there from Flash Gordon, the Discworld, whatever we wanted to reference. Yeah. Some of which I scripted, a large amount of which he just threw in.
Yeah.
And which I love doing.
Yeah.
It's there that if you see it, a little bit of a reward for you. But what I like, what he did as well, obviously, Fighting Fantasy until this and Freeway Fighter had come out had never been done as comics. And it's all, the artwork in the books was all very detailed fantasy art, which obviously you can't do in a comic. A comic is always going to be simpler than that, the style of it. You know, you want it to look like a comic.
Yeah.
And Gav managed to sort of get, it feels like Fighting Fantasy, but it looks like a comic. And that's...
it looks beautiful. Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't wait to read it. It looks amazing. So, for those people who aren't at the show, can't pick up a lovely copy, where can people get it?
We have an online store, which is, and I have to try and get this right now.
Here we go.
www.thetrolltoothwars.bigcartel.com.
Well done. Is that physical and digital?
Only physical. There's no digital copies available, unfortunately. We weren't given the license to sell PDF versions of it, but that's where you can get the...
We're all about the sort of shelf porn on this show.
Exactly,
right? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
You want something...
You want the physical book.
You can hold, you can smell, you can have on a shelf, and that you can take up to me and I will sign shamelessly and ruin your book.
There's so many jokes going through my head right now.
My signature is terrible, Vince. It's awful.
Amazing. Well, I'm going to get it in a bit, and then I'm going to copy it and sign lots of checks with it.
Excellent. Yay. I'll look forward to it.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you.
I'm here with Emily
Brackus.
Oh, hello, Dan. are you just Brain Shoodles is launching today?
Yes, it is.
How's it going?
Not too bad. No one's hating it, so that's nice. People are being nice about it. I'm just glad that it's done.
Yeah.
So.
Where's the second issue out?
I don't even. I'm really struggling to think of ideas or anything where to start with the second issue, so... Okay.
I'll tell you this. Do you know anyone with like really good hair who'd make a good subject for a comic?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know where. There's someone springing to mind. Yeah, yeah. Likes chocolate ice cream.
That's me.
Yeah, yeah.
You mentioned chocolate. How did your panel go?
I hope not too bad. We managed to fill the time quite nicely. Over the first 10 minutes, I was starting to think, oh my God, how are we going to fill 40? But Dan managed to fill that gap, so that was really good. Yeah.
It was good. Yeah, he did. It took quite a while, but you were very good. And you said hello to me in the audience. So
I did.
Was nice. Yeah.
Of course. I mean, I'm going to point out the people that I know and love.
So what's Brain Shoodles about? For those that don't have access to any form of personal social media or don't see the smoke signals from your house.
Brain Shoodles is an autobiographical mental health scene. It's 28 pages black and white, and it's just four panel, one page comics about living and dealing with depression and anxiety.
Okay, and you're a bit of toast, is that right?
Pretty much, or a cloud, or a little face thing. It could be whatever you want it to be.
Oh, cool.
So that's the idea, is keep it as simple as possible so that people can relate to it and it's not clouded by other things.
Now, to me, it's a little bit experimental as well, which, you know,
really?
I like. That's how I found it.
Okay.
Do you think that's right, or...?
Well, the style of it is very much limited by my lack of any artistic talent, so...
That's experimental.
Yeah, so that's why it's experimental, because somebody who can't draw is trying to draw a comic.
Everyone can
so,
draw something.
Yeah. Well, that's, I've proved that. Yeah. So, so it's driven by my lack of massive technical ability. I can make things look like they need to look, but there's no great skill there. So that's kind of why. And just to... I think the challenge was keeping it as simple as possible. That was what I was trying to do.
And it's got really... You got a big uptake, didn't you? What did you, triple your figure, did you? Or?
Yeah, tripled. My Kickstarter funded in less than 3 hours. Oh, okay. And then by the end of it, I only had it running for 10 days as well. End of it, I'd had triple what I'd asked for originally, which meant I could do 2 extra prints and some stickers. So that's... I've not made any profit out of the Kickstarter. It's all gone back into stuff to give to people.
You got a couple of prints. Who have you got prints by?
Rosie Hathaway, who is amazing.
Yeah.
Danny M. Abram. Abram.
Yeah.
I will call it Abram.
Danny, right.
Yeah, okay. Danny's is the how she travels when she's suffering with anxiety, so a travel kit. And then a gorgeous one by Jim Bamfield, which is... I adore.
Oh,
so
yeah. Excellent. And where can we get it online?
So you can follow me on Twitter, Tomboy Princess, and you can get it through there. Or my Big Cartel is emilybowen.bigcartel.com.
Thanks, baby cakes.
Thanks, handsome.
Right, I'm here with Steve Tanner of Time Bomb Comics. Cool, 2007 to 10 years you've been at this game. Bloody hell. And you're here with... I've just picked up an issue of Flintlock, which is your latest title, isn't it? Tell us a little bit more about Flintlock.
Well, Flintlock is an ongoing series, and it's all set in the 18th century. It's an anthology book as well. So in each book, there'll be at least 3 different stories. Now, they're all separate stories, each taking place in a different decade within the 18th century. And, of course, they're adventure stories, so it's stories of pirates, highwaymen, thief takers, all that, those kind of characters. But it also takes place in a shared timeline. So although the stories are separate, the way it's set up is you can read a story that's set in 1720, and then suddenly you'll notice that that'll have an effect on a character's storyline in, say, in 1780, even though the characters themselves may never actually meet. And as the series progresses, you start to notice those little connections coming into play between the separate stories.
So, the way you've explained it there, there's a lot of prep work and a lot of thinking that's going into it. Do you do like timelines and stuff like that when you write the stories?
Yeah, I've got a timeline of the whole kind of century kind of mapped out, and the
whole century.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's very much a passion project, really, how it is. So I can see what type of stories I've got slotted in for each of the different decades. And I can see how it kind of fits together. And also allows me then to kind of bring new kind of storylines in that will actually fit within that timeline without kind of throwing everything out of kilter. Because one of the other things I'm trying to do with Flintlock as well is present characters that you don't normally see in comics.
Yeah, it's definitely a very unique title. It's certainly very original. You've got 3 very different and original main sort of characters, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think one of the things that people have really kind of responded well to is how both the lead pirate character and the lead highwayman, they're both female. But they're presented in a way that's very different from how women are usually presented in comics a lot of the time. I mean, because they're dressed, and the stories that they're involved in, they're not using their kind of sexuality to do what they do. The covers themselves, you know, the women feature on the covers, but again, they're not in that kind of good girl art kind of poses. Now, there's nothing wrong with good girl art. I think, you know, but I think it's nice to have that genuine kind of diversity of character.
I think as well that wouldn't service the story in any way, shape or form. Like, you know, the characters are stronger for that, you know. I mean, they don't need those sort of cheap gimmicks, do they, really?
That's exactly right. And they behave like real women would have behaved at the time, given the social limitations which they're constrained in within the 18th century. And going forward, I mean, over the first six books, there'll be a total of six kind of lead characters introduced, each with their separate storylines in a different part of the century. None of those characters fall into the stereotype of the white male action hero. They're all very different from that, but they all fit perfectly well within the historical setting that they're designed to be in.
And the setting itself is, because you're talking about these time periods, art plays a special part in it as well. I mean, you've got some great artists in this book, and they're certainly like these huge chateaus and mansions and stuff, and you see it all on the page, don't you? What was it like in terms of like finding artist to do a project like this? Because from a personal perspective, if you asked me to draw something like that, I'd probably soil myself and wouldn't be able to do it. But these guys are more than that for the challenge, and they're just absolutely knocking it out of the park. So what was that like?
I mean that's, it's been great. I mean, because part of the key to a historical kind of book is having artists who aren't intimidated by drawing horses, I mean, that's one thing that I know a lot of artists struggle with anyway, drawing a horse, but also just being willing to kind of engage in the kind of the research that you need to do. So I mean, all the artists that came to me, they came to me through Time Bomb gets a lot of submissions from all across the world.
Yeah.
So they came from that channel. A lot of it was just seeing that their art was specific, would fit the kind of stories I was trying to tell. But then going to them and say, well, this is what I'm trying to do, and this is what's involved, and is this something you'll be a part of? Now, you know, quite a few artists were approached. Some of them said, actually, no, it's not right for me. And they were, you know, you could tell they were intimidated by what I was trying to do. But, you know, the guys that we have on board, you know, Anthony Summy, Lorenzo Nicoletta, Ed Machiavelli, we've got David Morris and Caroline Parkinson coming in from book three. They're really up for the challenge. And when I send them the scripts, I send them loads and loads of reference material as well as part of that. So
accuracy for something like this is really important, isn't it?
Yeah, so I'm not sending them in blind. I'm trying to kind of provide as much detail as I can. Now, I'm very kind of obsessed with the 18th century myself. So on occasion, I've forgotten that other people aren't necessarily as obsessed as I am. And what that means is I've kind of assumed that the artist will interpret something in a particular way, and they haven't. And I realise it's because I haven't given them the right research. It's entirely down to me. I mean, a good example is in book two, was when Anthony sent me the pencils for the lady Flintlock script, and I asked him to change all the trees because the trees were a type that weren't introduced into Britain until after the...
You nerd. nerd.
I know.
That's brilliant.
But he was so good about it. He said, yeah, that's fine. But and a couple of people I've said that to have said the same reaction as you. But it's a bit like, imagine if you know, you were doing a Western comic and you had these nice vistas with oak trees instead of cactus.
We're living in this day and age where if a similar sort of thing happened in a movie, people would be all over it immediately, won't they? So, yeah, that attention to detail, I think, speaks volumes of the book. And it is actually swashbuckling in the truest sense of the word. So, for those people who don't see you at a show, can you get this online? You know, have you got a store and stuff online?
Yeah, I've got a website, which is timebombcomics.com. So all the stuff is available online. There's a Flintlock Book Series Facebook page as well. Shanti the Pirate Queen has her own Twitter account, at Shanti's Crew. And I'm at a lot of shows. I tend to...
Yeah, you're a show veteran, aren't you?
I am, you know.
It was about time we got you on.
But no, it's been great, thanks.
Cheers, Steve.
Right, I'm here with Dan from Leamington. Now, you've got a date for Leamington, haven't you?
Yeah, we have, yeah. The next event is going to be April 14th, 2018.
Oh.
God, I can't believe it's 2018 already. It'll be our fourth event.
Fourth and right. And you've got a new venue?
Yeah, we've got a new venue. We've moved the event for the fourth time now to like to keep people on their toes, and myself, at the Parish Church in Leamington Spa. So it's a lovely 200-year-old church. Well, I say it's a church, it's more of a cathedral size, lovely stone building. So it's going to be a great place to put on a comic event.
That's great when you think there's so many sort of dark issues going on now inside a church, in a different way than normal, I suppose.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. Well, this church is actually kind of getting used to putting events on, and they've recently showed The Life of Brian, which then, it upset the church crowd with... down with this sort of thing, Father Ted type protest outside.
Wow, because it was banned in Ireland for a while, Life of Brian.
Yeah, absolutely. But this church...
Quite right too, obviously.
Yeah.
So you're not revealing any guests, although you have got a few secrets up your sleeve, haven't
you? Yeah, we've been busy, as always, working behind the scenes. We've got four or five guests already confirmed. We've already started working on a... potential targets to exhibit at the con. So we're kind of changing the strategy this year, where previous shows we've put out an application form, then reviewed the work, actually to just save everybody's time, mine and the creators. We're going to just reach out to a number of people. Some have already expressed an interest, see if they want a table.
Okay.
and kind of deal with it that way.
So mixing it up a bit, because it's a much bigger venue, isn't it? You were saying you've got side rooms and all sorts.
Yes, it's we'll probably be able to get around about 40 creators into the venue. So and we'll have a mix of, you know, returning people, but also giving new people the opportunity to come to Leamington and experience what our show's about.
Nice one. We're sitting above Nick Prolix at the moment. Are you going to Leamington, Nick?
Love to go to Leamington.
There you
smart,
go.
Smart old university town.
Oh, is it? Where are you?
I was at Warwick.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, cool. Nice one. There you go.
Well, we'll invite Nick.
So where can people look it up?
Head over to the... we've got the Facebook page. So you've got the Leamington Comic Con Facebook page. You've got us at Lem Comic Con on Twitter. Or if you head to spartowncomics.co.uk, and there is a Lem Comic Con page on there. And as we announce guests and information, that'll all become...
Real. Nice one.
Yeah,
I've got a little bit of a heads up around who's coming, but it's still a secret, isn't it?
It is a secret. Don't reveal it.
I'm here with my brother from another mother. The first man I had a table next to at a comic convention, the writer of Razor Hawk, Mr. Ian Matthews.
Hello, Vince.
Hello. How are you? Stop looking at my mic. You look deeply aroused.
Don't I need to? Is that not how it works?
No, that's not how it works. It's an audio medium.
A talking to it, right.
Now, you've come as a punter today, haven't you?
That's right, yeah.
How have you found the day?
Oh, it's been amazing. I've had a great time. Yeah. Just spending money, basically. Like hemorrhaging money is probably a better way of putting it.
Well, it's easily done at these sort of shows, especially like when you know so many great creators as well. Now, you've been... out of the comics game for a couple of years, but the passion is back, isn't it?
Yeah, we're really excited, actually. I think we ended up just kind of trying to do more cons and got a little bit burnout, and then we just sort of stepped away from it a little bit, and ended up just using our spare time for other pursuits, you know,
living your life.
Making chocolates.
I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But you got the passion back. And do you find shows like this, when you want to make, do you walk away from this wanting to make comics?
Yeah, right now I do, yeah. And it's been quite recent for me, actually. Only about a month ago, it all sort of started coming back. And Danny went on an animation-type holiday in France. And then
that's Danny.
Danny Abram, he's the artist of Razor Hawk, and my girlfriend.
Show off. No, he doesn't go into an animated land, Tony.
And it was just Danny that went. Will the mic pick that up?
Nah.
You've got the Tony filter on, have you? Like.
Trust me. You'll be surprised. Tony's had a long day. Yeah. We need to give him a nap in a second. Yeah.
So anyway, I had like a week to myself, and I ended up thinking about Razorhawk again, and I just pulled out all the old notebooks, and we're like, oh man, yeah, these stories are still pretty good, and just spent a whole week like thinking about them and writing more stuff, just getting really excited about comics again, listening to quite a lot of the podcast as well.
We're sorry, that'll do you absolutely no good.
Well, you know, at least I've now heard of Master of Kung Fu.
Yeah, trust me, knowing Tony Esmond, you'll always hear about Master.
And I kind of got like to blame Tony for me spending a bunch of money on this jam piece.
Yes, you are the first actual result, I would say, of our talk about jam pieces at conventions and stuff, because you have quite literally put into practice a jam piece that I can quite confidently say will probably be one of Dan's favourite bits of artwork ever. Yeah. Because you've... Tell us a little bit more about this jam piece that you've planned.
Yeah, so for a while I was thinking about getting like a sketchbook and taking it around to artists, as a lot of people do. Because prior to that, you know, I've picked up a few sketches from people here and there, but just on the paper that they artists bring to themselves to their shows. And they end up just going in a folder and getting put away and in a cupboard and never really look at them. So I thought, oh, well, sketchbook would be quite a good idea, because I really enjoy going to comic cons when people have like artists have like printed sketchbooks.
Yeah.
They're like often top of my list to buy, as well as comics.
You don't see enough of them, really, do you?
I don't think you see enough of them. I picked up an absolutely fabulous one today. I would like to see more. And I often like look at, say, like Dean Beattie's sketchbook or WJC's, you know.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I'll grab a sketchbook, and you know, I'm a massive fan of the original RoboCop movie, so I thought, well, that'll be my theme, I'll take that around. And then it was really listening to the podcast and Tony talking about jam pieces, I thought, oh man, this is maybe a better way to approach it, because it'll end up something that, you know, I can stick up on my wall and frame it, get it done, and it's a nice way to like incorporate loads of different artists into one piece, you know. Yeah. So what we've done now is I've commissioned Gav Mitchell to draw the main RoboCop and sort of lay out the whole piece. But I sort of had the idea of having RoboCop stood in front of like a bank of monitors, real 80s kind of like the 4:3 aspect ratio.
Yeah.
And then so
such
within
a
those,
great idea to do it. Like that,
it's right? I mean, it's quite like evokes the movie, you know, which is the main thing. Within those monitors then. I'm taking that around and getting head sketches of the other characters of the movie.
Yeah.
And then once that's finished, I'll take it back to Gav. He's going to colour RoboCop himself. And then
it's going to look amazing. It's going to look amazing. I'm sure somehow we'll get some photos of the work in progress or the finished piece, and we'll put them on the Facebook.
It'd be nice to put the progress up on the awesome chat or something.
Yeah,
maybe.
That'd be awesome.
I've literally got the first, other than the Gav's RoboCop, I've got the first sketch done today by Nick Prolix, who's done a fantastic, really cartoony version of the
I'll buy that for a dollar
character.
It's amazing, dude, it's amazing, and it just warms my heart knowing that the passion has been
I want it to be a fully commissioned piece, so you know, I'm paying for every single one of these, and I want to support artists, a lot of whom are my friends as well, that I've met through doing Razorhawk, and then maybe, you know, like getting to meet other people. Like, I'd never met Nick until today, but it's nice having that kind of like wild card entry come in and just an artist that you.
And he's absolutely knocked it out of the park.
He's cranked it out, and I don't envy anybody's.
The thing about jam pieces are when an artist looks at what's there, they've got up their game.
Yeah.
So it's good to have a really good one to start with.
Good strong start. Yeah. Well, the RoboCop already is fantastic. Yeah. Like, I was made up with what Gav did, and he's done it this week.
Yeah.
Like, I've had the idea turning over in my mind for a couple of weeks, and originally it was going to be more of like just a montage, like a movie poster type piece, and I was just going to turn up here today with a blank bit of paper and just take it around and get whatever I could, and I started I did a little mock-up on my own computer and thought, this is going to look really messy. Came up with the idea we've eventually gone for, and I was like, oh man, Gav. I went to Gav because I know that he is as much a fan of RoboCop as I am.
Yeah.
So that's the top criteria, really, like RoboCop fans. And also, like, he's a great artist. So I gave him a call on Tuesday and was like, dude, could you reckon you can do this for for the weekend? Yeah. And then I can start getting...
You bit your hand off to do it. Yeah, yeah.
He did it, yeah, yeah.
Well, it looks amazing, dude. We're going to show some more progress on the Facebook page, etc. Now, in terms of Razor Hawk, where, if people want to find out more about it, and like maybe pick up an issue, which I highly recommend, where can people go? Can you remember this? Yeah. Can you remember you this?
I need Danny here for this. We have sadly let it fall by the wayside a little bit. So we used to have a website, but that is no more. So you can't get it, really. Comixy. We're on Comixy, actually.
Yeah, there you go.
So if the best bet is to follow Danny Abraham, if you're interested in like her comics, like Worry Water or anything, you'll be able to get to Razor Hawk through that.
Yeah.
And we probably... I mean, we're just going to be working on getting the books done now.
Yeah.
So, like, hopefully we'll come back next year.
It's going to be awesome.
And then at that point, we'll definitely get back.
This may be your debut on the show, but this isn't the last we've heard of Ian Matthews. Mainly because he's also making custom chocolates.
That's right.
You're an actual chocolatier.
Well, not yet, but the plan is to turn that into a bit of a business. So I'm formerly a model maker. And kind of wanted to bring a lot of the model making skills I've got, but do something a little bit different with them. Came up with the idea of making just really, really custom, unique chocolates. And I guess the idea in my mind is to sort of pitch them towards, like, you know, weddings and corporate logos and parties and things like that. But I needed to prototype it to prove that it could be done. So as you have found out yourself this morning, I made your
The Zenosphere logo is now a little set of chocolates, which aren't going to last the weekend. You do know that, don't you?
I hope you're going to take one back for Joe.
Oh, Joe's going to. Yeah, it's going to be. They're not going to last. Probably tonight, actually.
That's fine. They're there to be.
Because they do.
Enjoyed.
They do taste amazing.
They're there to be enjoyed.
Yeah.
And I also made a set for the Big Punch guys, John and Nick. So I did a 7-string logo and an Afterlife logo, and they came out really great. But honestly, my favourite one was the one I did for Sarah Millman, which is a NPCT logo, and that even ended up getting turned into like a full chocolate bar.
Amazing.
So I'm really, really happy with that one. And,
amazing. So watch this space. There's going to be plenty more coming from Ian Matthews. That sounds dangerous, doesn't it?
Hopefully more comics. I'm super excited about comics again. I'm buzzing off of just artwork and ideas and storylines, and I've picked up a bunch of books today from people I've never heard of, and everyone seems really cool, so I can't wait to get home and just get inspired. And honestly, like, a lot of the next Razor Hawk storyline is already there. I'd already written it years ago.
Yeah.
And it all seems pretty good, just adding more to it and tightening it up. And me and Danny, I think, probably going to have like our first proper like chat about it. Like, we've thrown it out there and we're both keen to do it, but probably gonna have our first chat tomorrow and just really start kind of
awesome
working out when we can do it for, you know.
Awesome. So watch this space, and thank you for chatting with us, dude.
Thanks, Vince.
So would you believe it, I'm at a Cardiff Independent Expo and John Byrne has walked in through the door, plus he's brought Elizabeth Taylor with him.
Oh my god.
so John, John. What brings you to the show?
Well, I'm a world-renowned feminist. So I've come with Lizzie Tits Taylor to a comic convention. Thought it'd be fun.
Liz, what brings you to a comic convention? You're looking marvellous, by the way.
Well, thank you. It's very kind of you. I've come to show my Lizzie Tits to everyone.
Emily looks really weird.
There's no Emily here. This is Liz.
Liz Taylor.
The actress.
Look, PJ.
Gil Kane's just arrived.
Gil Kane, stop trying to ruin everything. I'm talking to John Byrne and Elizabeth Taylor. Have you always ruined everything?
Yes.
So there you go.
You didn't ruin the Micronauts.
How do you feel about Gil right now, John?
About who?
Gil Kane.
Exactly.
I see. He's blanked you. And what are you going to buy today, Liz?
I'm going to buy Brain Shoodles by Emily Bio, and I hear it's remarkable. Oh, yes. And I might also wipe my butt on Red Mask from Mars.
I like Brian Shoodles as well. He's great.
Brian Shoodles.
He's a very close friend of mine, Mr. Shoodles.
I've got to be honest, that one was Chris Carter. I stole it.
Brian Shoodles. Is there a spelling mistake in it?
Well, yes, it's supposed to be Mr. Shoodles' autobiography, but it's something.
Mr. Shoodles.
Mr. Shoodles, Brian Shoodles, yes, yes. Good friend of mine. Great chap, great
Why
chap.
Why not do Brian Shittles as the next one?
Oh, I tell you what. See.
John Burns, another genius.
The celebrities are at this show. Who knows who we're going to talk to next?
Should we do a sign off now? I got you a present.
Thank you, Tony.
Tell the listeners what I got you.
I've got issue 47 of Master of Kung Fu.
Brilliant.
In very good condition. Let's see what we've got here.
Look at that. That's good, isn't it? Doug Mensch, Paul Galassi.
Paul Galassi. That's a beautiful page.
Oh, that's amazing.
Lovely.
I love doing that page.
I love the smell of that old paper as well.
Yeah, I love the smell of pants.
Plus, it was 10p back in the day.
Yeah, no, it wasn't 10p now. It was £1,000.
You bought me £1,000 comic.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Have you had a good day?
Yeah, it's been a good day. Like every convention day, I'm absolutely shattered.
I'm knackered. I've got to get on a two-hour train journey.
Do you think in order to do conventions these days, you need to do more cardio?
Yeah, maybe. Drink more as well, because you haven't any water, you're complaining, weren't you?
Oh, yeah.
I brought you some water, like you're some kind of diva.
Yeah, I know. Well, I have been as well. I got people to carry me up and downstairs as well. it's been a good day. It's been a good day. So I sold some comics, which is always good.
Yeah. We had a really interesting conversation about uses for a cucumber.
Yes.
And I did some actions.
Yes. Which both sickened and aroused me. it's been a good day. Sold a couple of prints as well. And everyone here has just been lovely. The community.
Loads of back issues as well, do you notice?
Yeah, really? I know. You must be really happy.
I've got a bag that weighs about 4 ton now to carry home.
Yeah.
And I didn't even drive.
You ought to get on the old steam engine, don't you? To go home.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Get on the Rattler. Yeah.
But we may also have made some contacts for future guests.
Yeah, got some cracking future guests. One who we talked about quite a lot, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a great day. It's coming back next year.
What's that fucking bloke doing over there? Don't look at him, he's going to come over.
Oh, no.
He's coming over.
Here he goes. Oh, no.
God.
Is it Pearly Queen? Pearly King? What do they call him?
Don't know, I can't. He was standing right next to me, I couldn't say anything. Right.
I don't care. No. But, it's coming back next year, so... We'll be back, and we thoroughly recommend the show. So thank you very much for listening to all of this audio.
Yeah, are we putting this in the middle of a normal episode?
Who knows? You never know, Dan. You don't know, do you?
I don't care.
You just got to send me. You got to send me the audio clips, and then I do all the work.
You do exactly. Thank you. Love you. Bye.
See you, folks. So there you have it.
That's all right, wasn't it, a little taste of
the fun that we had during the day.
It was very hot, wasn't it, as well?
Oh god, it was so hot,
boiling hot.
I had a bit of a mare actually getting to the convention.
Oh yeah,
because of my own, it's all my own fault, so I'm not going to go into it again. I told the story about 10 times to 10 different people, so I can't do it again. But it's a fantastic day, and there was lots of people there. Tony, we've got a list of people that we want mentioned, don't we?
Yeah, we've got a few people. Excuse me. I did one of the panels, which is really good. I was really not down to me actually, but down to the guests, called Inside the Minds of Artists: The Creative Process. But because it's a Masonic hall, the talk hall and where all the tables were was like pretty freaky, wasn't it?
Yeah, it had a
gong. Quite grand. Yeah. Yeah, your panel, some cosplayer was trying to be funny. And banged a gong at one point, and I think the crowd were going to lynch him. Not funny, mate. You know, you're not Deadpool, and that weren't funny. There's a combination of two things. But your panel went all right, didn't it?
Yeah, it was good. It was very good, actually. Yeah. Emily Baracus-Owen, as we all know, that's her name now. We seem to name people, and then they actually own it, which I quite like.
Defeating us.
Yeah, but we had a panel about publishing small press with Dan Harris of Loose Scannon, etc., and Sarah Millman of MPCT, which was very, very good.
Yeah, very good,
nice
panel.
Chat. Yeah, there were some photos floating around of me looking like an absolute pillock, but I'm over it now. Tony,
I asked a question
Tony,
about...
you know it's your fault.
I know. I asked a question about ice cream, and that seemed to encourage everyone, didn't it? That was a nice little question.
Yeah. You always throw like a curveball in.
Yeah, you see, Baracus thought she'd catch me on the hop and ask me, so, oh, Tony, have you got a question? And so I did. I had one ready up my sleeve.
He's always fully loaded, Tony Esmond.
back to me again, obviously.
Yeah. Oh,
the panel I did was with Sarah Grayley, God Machine. God Machine may be the biggest genius I've ever met in Wales. He was absolutely hilarious. Did you get to chat to God Machine?
I didn't.
Yeah.
More's
I told his wife that I didn't want him to tell me his real name and I would only refer to him as God Machine. That's pretty cool. And he said on the panel, there was a little bit of an aside on the panel about, you know, being distracted by Twitter and, you know, sometimes it makes you a bit angry and you have to type something. And God Machine said backspacing is saving the comics industry. In other words, you type something and then you delete it. It's saving the comics industry. And I thought, he's probably not wrong there. That's like the best thing I've heard. We've all typed something and deleted it, haven't we?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, most of my scripts.
Yeah. Most of my sexting. It's going a little bit too far. Simon Gurr was really good on it. Simon Williams, great. And Robin Etherington as well. So it's quite a few people on a panel that was 40 minutes long. But I think we ran over slightly, but we managed to get like a lot of chatting done. And really fun stuff. I mean, you just heard her there. Big shout out to Iz McAuliffe. Absolutely brilliant. What fun. And do you know what? Every time she walked past me, even though she was looking like she was legging it around the convention constantly, like doing laps, she always had time to say hello to everyone and make sure everyone's all right. Good. Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
So into my little list, Dobes, obviously.
Yeah.
Great company. He was next door to you, wasn't he?
He was, as always. Yeah. We were sharing fun times, and also we helped each other with getting the kit back to the car after the convention was done. That's nice, isn't it? Isn't that nice?
Yeah. Andy Blore, the Blorstein, he was there. Had a good chat with him. I offered him a lollipop, actually, which he turned down. I was a bit surprised about it, you know, but there you go. Not everyone wants my lollipop.
Not everyone, especially in public.
Yeah, Dan Harris and the Scannon Boys over there, they were good, weren't they? Good company, studios. Sam Webster, who was upstairs, actually. Otherwise, we'd have seen more of him, really, wouldn't we? Because we were downstairs, or you were, and I was sort of wandering around. But, he came down a couple of times and I went up.
I kept missing him. Whenever he went for a walk, it was always at the time where I went for a walk, so we just kept sort of missing each other.
Yeah. He'd come along with Sarah Harris, didn't he? I think they'd carpooled, and she was there, and she was also collecting books for the signing, which is depending on when we put this out, on Saturday.
Yes, on Saturday in the Incredible Comic Shop in Swindon.
Yeah, there you go. I think it's a bit of a comedy moment because she had all these boxes. She was laden down with boxes, and obviously being the gentleman that I am, I said, "Oh, can I help carry them?" And she gave them to me, and it was like, you know, when somebody hands you like a really heavy weight, and you sort of just drop it to the floor. She had it. She's quite strong, I think. She doesn't look that strong, but I'm sure she must be quite strong because the box I then carried to the car for her was really, really heavy. There you go. And also, out of the blue was Susie and Chris Gander, who just sort of asked me early on in the day, how long does it take to get to Cardiff? And I told them, and then they just drove down in the car out of the blue, and then they turned up. They actually walked into the panel I was doing. It was really nice, really nice to see them.
Yeah.
Gavin Mitchell, PJ Montgomery had Troll Tooth Wars out.
Yeah,
that's just finished and just released. We
both got a copy of that, didn't we?
We did. Yeah. Emily Owen, who Brackus you just heard from there, and Brain Shoodles, and the upcoming sequel, Brian Shittles, which I've renamed. Got proud of that. Matt Gibbs and Sarah Dunkerton. It's Sarah's birthday today, so happy birthday!
It is. Was it yesterday?
I know you know that.
No,
I don't know.
No,
I think it's today because it's come up on my Skype thing. That's the only reason I know. Yeah.
It won't be today when you listen to this, by the way, people.
That's true. Yeah. But still send a birthday greetings anyway.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah, share the love.
Yeah. Stick a star bar in the post, send it to her. That's nice. That'll be right with it.
I love star bars. Anyway.
I like star bars. It's a bit old school, isn't it? Michael Wood, who normally runs Bristol, was there selling some great back issues. I bought a ton off him. Mm. Really good stuff. Dan Mallier from Leamington came down. I went and had lunch with him. We had a laugh. Good company. He's given us a little bit of an insight, bit of the behind the scenes around who might be coming to Leamington. So we're very excited by that. Some great new names who haven't really been seen that much on the con circuit going to be coming along. Danny Abrams and Ian Matthews. Ian, isn't it? I always forget Ian's.
It's Ian, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Who made you chocolate? That was nice, wasn't it?
Very nice. I mean, the folks have just heard me talking to Ian for about 10 minutes. He's awesome. And the chocolates he made just blew my mind. and everyone else.
Yeah,
yeah, everyone who got them, I think, like Nick Angel and John Locke.
They posting pictures of them, don't they?
Yeah, and they were awesome, and they taste lovely with a cup of tea.
Oh, yeah, and he was doing a jam piece, wasn't he?
The RoboCop jam piece.
RoboCop jam piece, which the mighty Mr. Prolix drew on. I think he did the first square, didn't he? Yeah. Would I buy that for a dollar? And that's an ideal choice for me, for him.
I've since been in touch with Ian, and we will be trying to post in-progress pictures of the jam piece as it develops on the,
Good idea.
On the Awesome Comics Talk group, so stay tuned.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. He was good company, actually. Yeah, really good company. I've not met him before, so it was nice to meet him. Nick was great, obviously. Sat there sketching literally the whole day, I think Nick did.
Yeah.
And I got a great Richard Dragon from him, which he's been saving for me, which absolutely is brilliant. Dave Brown, good old Dave, he was there. He's just messaged me, actually, with a page, a little secret page from his new upcoming comic, which looks fucking brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Amazing.
Yeah, you need to go and see Dave's stuff. Dave's one of those sort of small press guys who's sort of hardworking, puts out a comic very regularly, and has got to be 5 minutes from being on the prog. He's a big 2000 AD guy, I think.
Yeah. Me and him had a chat about that, actually. It was quite interesting.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I totally agree with you, Tony. He should be in some way.
Yeah. And I got a brilliant Constantine from you for my son. It looks brilliant, mate. Thanks for that. Oh. He'd be over the moon with that.
Oh, good.
Yeah, really nice. Yeah, that's one of your best things I've seen you done, actually. You really got a nice bit of character on that as well. Not that you don't always, but it looks really good, yeah.
Thank you. Well, I hope he likes it. So.
Yeah, he will, yeah. So that's my list done, I think. I just scribbled down a few names 10 minutes ago, but who have you got?
Obviously, you heard him in the audio there. Steve Tanner from Time Bond Comics caught up with him and got hold of the latest issue of Flintlock. Mark and Matt from Hellbound Media, who I'm working with at the moment. So it would have been scandalous if I didn't catch up with them while we're there.
Yeah. I do like the fact that they really enjoy winding you up.
Yeah.
Which always makes me laugh. Yeah.
Obviously, John, Nick and Ali from Big Punch Studios, they were there.
Oh, of course. What am I talking about? Yeah.
Yeah. Always hugely enthusiastic and good fun. Shan Jefferson and Sarah Millman. Did you mention them? Have you mentioned them
yet? I didn't. I completely forgot to mention them. How is that? And I spoke to Milma about 5 times.
Yeah. They weren't too far from us. They're both always awesome. And they've been on the show a few times each. So, good to catch up with them. And Bryony and Claire from Wine and Zine.
You had a chat with them, didn't you?
Yeah.
And I didn't get to chat to them in the end.
Yeah. Now, they're from the Wine and Zine Collective. And it was just the two of them. There's 5 in total. But we talked just as the show was finishing, and there may be sort of talks to have some sort of massive show in the future.
No.
Yeah. So, and they were just great fun, and their work's ace. So it was good to catch up with them. And we did not get his second name, but Ben.
Ben, how nice was that? Yeah, what a dude.
There was a
and he came to my panel. He made the numbers up. Thanks, Ben.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's a recent listener. He's just started listening. And ever so kind. Thank you very much for buying the comics, Ben, and for listening to the show. And it was lovely chatting to you, albeit briefly. So.
Yeah, I think I didn't get a chance to speak to him after the panel, but I hope he enjoyed it. Yeah, I saw him sort of chuckling at some of my rubbish panel hosting. But,
I don't believe that. I don't believe that, Tony. I don't believe that at all.
I'll just stand there giggling at God Machine, who's making me chuckle. Yeah,
it was a great day. And another last shout out, and that's to all the crew at Sice as well. As well as Iz, she had a brilliant crew of people running around and helping out and shouting out when panels were going on, etc.
Yeah.
So that was great. Yeah, that's fantastic. So you know, just a brilliantly run show. We had fun. Tony came back with plenty of back issues. You know he's a happy man whenever...
Yeah, there's loads of great back issues as well. Yeah, really good.
Yeah, and I picked up some lovely new small press books that you may hear about in future shows.
Yeah.
So, there you go, folks. Hope you enjoyed this little extra that we give you. We like to give you a bit extra now and then. I think the next special that we'll do will be from London Super Comic Con.
We'll be that ain't far off, is it now?
That's not that far off. And if we don't come back with audio from that, we are shit.
We're proper losers, aren't we?
We are proper losers. We've got plenty of big plans for that, so stay tuned to the show to find out more about what we'll have with us.
Oh, Catriona, what's it? Who's Catriona, the Welsh lady with the blue hair?
Oh, Anastasia Catrice.
Catrice, that's it, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Forgot to mention her, didn't we?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's got a cat in it, Tony, so you were halfway there.
Yeah, I know.
Who doesn't love cats? yeah, so thank you very much for listening, special folks. Stay tuned for the next episode of The Awesome Pod, because over the next few weeks we've got plenty of cool stuff. And yeah, from Tony and me and everyone at Cardiff Expo, I think we can speak for them, can't we?
Oh, definitely. They wrote it down that we could.
Yeah, good. thank you very much and have a brilliant week. See ya, folks.
See ya.